Good morning, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, right here in the auditorium, and also good morning to all who are worshiping with us online, wherever you are. May the Lord be with you and continue to minister to you where you are. Rosie and I are very grateful to the Lord for the last 50 years. We have 350 years that we are very grateful. We have been married for 50 years. We have served the Lord together for 50 years, and I've been ordained for 50 years. This is something that we treasure. As we are deeply grateful and touched by your favor to join us in celebration 2 weeks ago. I want to thank God for the church leaders, organizers of the celebration. Without your help, this will not be possible. And I thank God that we can celebrate it as a family. I'm deeply touched by the pouring out of love in our recent bereavement of Wendy and Abigail as they lost their dear one, Alvin. I'm very thankful that all of you surround them with your love, your care, not only for Wendy and Abigail, but also for their extended family. Indeed, the church family is growing in faith, hope, and love together. I cannot emphasize enough, many of us have been in church for many, many years, but you have never joined the church in actual fact. I know many of you, but I tell you, you have missed a lot. If you are a Christian, you love the Lord Jesus, you need to join the church. You need to be a member of the church. How can we be a member of the church? You must believe in the Lord Jesus and be baptized. So we accept members to believers' baptism. If you have not been baptized, but you are a believer, I encourage you to be baptized soon and be a member of this church. And more so, about half of our church people are not actually part of any care group, any fellowship group. Yes, I know you are here on Sunday, but have ever people come up to me and say, "Pastor, I was sick. Nobody called me. Nobody visited me." And my first question is that, which home group do you go to? He said, "I don't go to any group." Well, actually, to be honest with you, we don't even know you are sick. Are you aware of that? So I urge you, not just only worship in church, but be accountable to the church. And we are accountable to you. That's what being part of the body of Christ. We are a big family, learning to care for each other. If you have not done so, talk to any of us, pastors, elders, care group leaders. We will help you to find a group to join. So the church have many groups near your home, appropriate for your age group. You will surely be blessed. And I hope when you're part of the body of Christ, you discover who you are and what you can do. Not only expecting others to care and love you, but you need to reach out to others in return for caring and blessing someone else. I think this has been my greatest blessing. 50 years as pastors and wife. Yes, we have gone through different challenges, but the family of God stood by our side, and we are able to continue to serve God. And life will have many storms. I think you need an anchor in the Lord, and you need a family, a church, to back you up. And it's my appeal to all of you who are not members of the church, but you are actually a Christian, you worship with us, you actually give to the church, but will make a difference in your life when you become responsible, accountable to the church of God here. Yeah, today I will continue the study of 1 Peter given to me, the passage chapter 5, verse 1 to 5. Let me refresh you the letter Peter wrote here. Peter wrote this letter to offer encouragement to suffering Christians who are scattered or driven out by persecution all over Asia Minor. And wherever they went, they found themselves worshiping God in small groups. They found themselves worshiping God, caring for each other, and continue to witness for God. I think that's wonderful. Peter begins thanking God for salvation through Jesus Christ. And he says, suffering and trials will refine our faith in the Lord. And Peter encouraged believers to continue to trust God in all circumstances of our life. Peter went on to say in this letter, when he wrote, he said, in response to such great salvation, Peter commands believers to live holy lives, to reverently fear and trust God, to be honest and loving, and to become Christ-like in our daily walk with God. Next, Peter explained how believers should live during difficult times. He says, Christians should live above reproach, imitating Christ in all our social roles, masters and servants, husbands and wives, believers and neighbors. Christ should be our model for obedience to God in the midst of suffering. In this letter, Peter also gives us the right attitude to have about persecution and suffering that we experience. There are three things that are very important, he said. First of all, we need to expect it. Suffering will come. Secondly, he said, be thankful for the privilege of suffering for Christ. And then lastly, he said, what attitude should we have? He said, trust God for deliverance. I hope you remember these three very important attitudes as we face difficulties in our life. Continue to give thanks to God. Now, in the last chapter, chapter 5, here Peter actually instructs the elders how to minister, how to pastor, or how to shepherd the church in difficult times, in times of suffering, in times of persecution. Peter said, shepherd the flock of God. I'd like us to first listen to the word of God. If you have your Bible, turn to 1 Peter chapter 1, chapter 5, verse 1 to 5. The word comes out very small for you, sorry. So I exhort the elders among you, as a fellow elder and a witness of suffering of Christ, as well as partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God that is among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but willingly, as God would have you, not for shameful gain, but eagerly, not domineering over those in charge of you, but being examples to the flock. Verse 4. And when the shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. Likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourself, all of you, with humility towards one another, for God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your words that continue to speak to us today. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for being here and teaching us and guiding us into your truth. Open up our ears to listen, our eyes to see, our heart to experience a fresh touch from you, O Lord. Lord Jesus, we thank you. You are our great shepherd. Lord, over the 65 years, O Lord, of this church, you have shepherded us through thick and thin. We thank you, O Lord, as we go through different experiences as a body of Christ, as a family of believers. Lord, you have always been there to hold us up and to strengthen us in times of weaknesses, in times of even mistakes that we make. But Lord, we are grateful that you have been so faithful, O Lord. Lord, we thank you that you have been so good to us. We thank you, O Lord, that you have raised up faithful servants in this church to continue to shepherd your flock. Lord, as we turn to your word this morning, may you refresh our mind. May you raise up younger shepherds, O Lord, that they will want to give their lives, O Lord, to you, to serve you faithfully. O God, we pray your Holy Spirit will raise up a younger generation, O Lord, to continue what you have begun. O Lord, we want to commit this time to you. Speak to us and minister to all our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, in this passage of Scripture, verses 1 and 2, if you notice, all the three terms that we use are written out here. Peter specifically writing to the leaders or the spiritual leaders of the church. He uses three different terms to describe these leaders. The first word he used is elders. We have elders. We have three elders in our church. Elder Brian, Elder Senki, Elder Chinchi. We have many pastors in the church. The first word he said, elders among you. And then he went on to say, shepherd the flock of God. And the word shepherd actually is the word poimen, you know, the word pastor. And then the other one is the word is that oversee the church, overseer. So there are three different words being used, but all the words are plural in nature. In other words, the church has multiple leadership, not just one, but multiple leadership. And we also notice here that this talk about in a local church. Yes, we have many great preachers around the world, but they don't actually know you. But the local leaders, pastors, know you by name, and come around to you when you need them. There's a big difference. You can read the best books in the world, but you don't buy them, they don't know about it. You have troubles, they don't know it. But not the shepherds of the flock. They know you by name. I think that's the big difference out here. So the three words here, in Greek, is elders is presbyteros or presbyters. You have this Presbyterian church today. That word came from here. And in the overseers is episkopos or bishops. You also being seen, especially in bigger denomination. The bishops are in charge of an area, oversee many workers. And then the most common word that we have for the church leadership is the word shepherd, poimen, pastors. So you find that these words are being used interchangeably in the Bible. I would prefer to call the word pastor, so all of us are aware. All the leaders are actually mainly pastors. We pastor the church. Yeah, why does God actually raise up pastors? You ever thought of that? Is enough just have church members, just have sheep running around? You may not like to hear that. Sheep are the dumbest animal, you know. They cannot take care of themselves. Therefore, God raised up a group of people called by these three different names. And they have different functions, you see. God raised up elders, overseers, pastors, because sheep have problems and they need to be lovingly cared for by these call-out servants of God. Now, the word elders actually is nothing new. In the Old Testament, you have elders a long time ago. The elders are responsible for the oversight of the nation. They are matured older people, wiser people, they see that justice was done, important roles in the direction and future of the nation of Israel. This also flows into the New Testament. You read the Gospel, they talk about the elders, the priests, and also the scribes and so on. So the Church of God, you see, took on the concept in Acts chapter 14, verse 2. Elders were first appointed there. And then you find Acts chapter 15, they have the Jerusalem Council. The elders came together to discuss some of the doctrinal issue and some practices of their doctrine. So that's the historical aspect of it. And from the Greek word, you see, elder means maturity of spiritual experience. This from a wine's dictionary. The qualification is in 1 Timothy chapter 6, say, not a novice. And it was not a new believer. He must have experienced the Lord in his own experience. Yeah, shepherds are called by God, you see. Leaders are called by God. Let's look at Acts chapter 20, verse 17 and 28. It says, the elders were to serve as overseers. That's what it said. The Greek word, episkopos. Sorry, the first word should be elders. I've jumped one. Yeah. Elders are to be pace setter. Elders, they set the pace for the church, showing the way to the church, to Christ, in Christ, like character and service. As part of us, elders, our character are Christ-like, filled with the Spirit and the fruit of the Spirit in our life that you can see. Elders lead in the cultivation of basic discipline for victorious and effective Christian living. There's some of the responsibilities of the elders, helping the church to grow in love for God. I think this is a very important aspect of leadership that we need to do. What do we do? You know, we teach a Christ-centered family life. Not only we teach it, we need to live it as an example. Active compassion, deepening fellowship with God and with people. We also encourage people to joyful worship to the Lord. Life-changing Bible study, honest prayer life. I think these are the area that we talk about, you know, growing in love for the Lord. The second area that the elders would like to help and teach is growing in love for one another. This is where the body life is concerned. We need to have Christ-centered family life, deepening fellowship, generous stewardship, and also appropriate ministry as we lead. Yeah, the love for one another as a body of Christ. I think the elders and pastors have demonstrated this very well in our church. We are here to love one another, and you can see we work as a team. Huh? And I hope all of us can catch on to that we work together as a team. And lastly, growing in love for lost people. The church not only looking inside, behind the walls of the church, but also we lead in sharing the good news with people, active compassion activities in the community. The last 2 years, we have done a fair bit. The church, nature of the church, we don't publish, we don't take pictures in the news for the newspaper. Many of you are not aware, the church actually have spent nearly $500,000 in 2 years helping people outside the church. And I thank God many of you have been actively giving and doing what God wants us to do. I thank God for that type of expression as a people of God. Serving through our chosen vocation. God has placed us throughout in this community giving us ability to serve Him as doctors, leaders, as teachers, even as mothers, grandmothers, grandfathers. How do we use that influence that God has given to us in loving our neighbor, loving the lost people around us? Yeah, the second word is the word oversee. Overseer. Mm. Yeah, this is taken from the elders to serve as overseer or bishop in 1 Peter chapter, just now we have read. And the Greek word is episcopus, meaning one who oversees or take care of. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 4 and 5, reference to the work they do, take care of the church of God. I'd like you to take note of the overseer. What are they supposed to do? I think there are a few important things that the overseer need to take note. We must be sure that God's church is becoming what God intends it to be. You know, we keep the church, you know, close to the heart of God, you know, and what God wants us to be. Not just to do, but I think being the church of God first before doing. Being the people of God, you know, doing what God intends it to do. So this again, the church is in that sense is very narrow in our thinking. And that is the right way because we don't do what we want to do, but we want to do what God intends for us to do. I think we need to keep that in mind because this is not just an organization, but this is an organism that has life in it. And God lives in us and work among us, and He wants His purpose to be carried out in that way. So the overseer needs to have the big picture of the church. He needs to understand the spiritual condition of the church and be able to minister in that type of environment and be able to meet the needs of the church of God. And he needs to understand the character and the purposes of God. Who is God? You know, what is God doing? What God wants the church to do? These are very basic questions that the overseer will wrestle with all the time. And the overseer also helped to identify, to place, and to encourage disciples who will carry out the various ministry of the church. The church actually not only used the few leaders, but the church of God intends to involve every member of the church. Do you hear what I say? It's not just a bunch of us dancing around, you know. But he wants every one of us member of this body. That's what the church is described, you know. Think about your body. Which part of your body is useless? None. Every part of your body plays an important role, even though it be a small, but it's a very vital role. I think this is true with the church. So the overseer actually, Kim and I, look it out, you know, for people with different types of gifts. Our role is to discover, help you to discover your gifts, to develop your gifts, and to introduce you or put you into areas where you can serve God effectively. Can you see the different role, the elders and the overseer, you see? And then you have the third word here that we use is the shepherds. The word is poimen. Interestingly, in the New Testament, the word pastor translated in our English language is only one time mentioned. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. So the Greek word means appointment means such as a word shepherd. Elders were charged to shepherd the church of God. You see the word there? To look after the sheep, you know. What do the shepherds do, you know? Shepherding includes feeding, guiding, nurturing, protecting, and discipling the sheep. Help the sheep to have intimate relationship with the shepherd, the great shepherd. Well, the good shepherd, Jesus said, you know, I must know the sheep, right? And the sheep must hear their voice. In other words, those of us who are leaders, pastors, we need to keep a close watch over the flock of God. We need to have close contact, caring for them. And that's our privilege and our role to care for you. And we thank God for that privilege that you, God has given us to look after you, not just only your spiritual aspect of your life, but every aspect of your life. So allow us, you know, sometimes we are not busybody. If you go to counselors, you know, you look for them outside when you have trouble. But pastors in a church don't work like a counselor. When you are not well, you know, we visit you. We care for you. We call you up, you know. We are not busybody, but we just love you and care for you. So allow us to have that privilege to walk alongside with you. So the shepherds walk closely with the chief shepherd. We take orders from him. We learn from him. We imitate him. And we want to be like him to shepherd the flock of God. The church must recognize lead shepherd. We have many pastors, you know, but I think somehow we need to have someone to lead, isn't it? So that the church can move in a good direction. A fellow elder, Peter called himself a fellow elder, with multiple leaders out here. The church also must designate pastors for specific groups of people of our size, you know. And I thank God that we have younger pastors with us, and we are very grateful they are taking care of younger folks, and we thank God. We are interested not only in older people, but we are all generation church, from the oldest to the newborn babes. So we play a different role at the church. We have all age group, and I hope gradually we will have specific pastors to take care of every group of people. And we thank God that not only pastors, but we have group leaders. Home group leaders are also little pastors, aren't they? And I appreciate what you are doing and continue to do to care for your little flock that God has designated to you. So Peter, writing this letter, he very humbly called himself, you know, I'm also a fellow elder. Now, if you look at Peter, you see, Peter is one of the top three that walked with Jesus. And among the apostles, you see, he is the number one, actually, you see. But he never said, you know, I'm the number one. But he said, I'm just one like you, you know. I think that's a wonderful attitude. That's humility among elders. We don't think that we are better than you are, but we all esteem others better than ourselves. We work together, and I praise God for the leadership of the church. Peter called himself a fellow elder, and one among you as peers. I think that's beautiful. Yes, you're first among, you know, the peer, somebody to lead. So it is with the elders and pastors of any church. The church actually is not perfect. We leaders are not perfect. We just follow the perfect leader, Jesus. That's all. We are imperfect shepherds following our chief perfect shepherd. Now, there's a great temptation for us to put pastors and leaders on a pedestal. But that's a very dangerous thing, And none of us pastors, leaders in this church like for you to do that, to be frank with you. But we are just servants here to serve you, not above you. But we are here humbly to be servants of God, to serve each one of you in the name of the Lord Jesus. So elders and pastors don't have all the answers that you ask. Sometimes you may be angry with us, you know, we cannot solve certain type of problem. Or even we solve problem, we have made mistake, you know. Because we are simply, we are not perfect beings, you see. We do make mistake. And I hope you forgive us if we do make mistake. Don't just shoot us, pray for us. I often say, you know, pastors don't have a lot of badges, leaders of the church, but we have a lot of holes, you know, we are always being shot at. we stand up, you can see all the holes. But we thank God that that's what the church is like. And leaders are prepared in that sense to suffer some inconveniences and even criticism, recognizing that we are not perfect. And we continue to learn and to humble, to learn and to improve and to be more and more Christ-like in what God wants us to do. Now, Peter also said something, you see, that I like what he said. He said, you know, I'm also a fellow, I suffer. Let me quote exactly what he says. And he said, a witness of the suffering of Christ. Peter actually witnessed the suffering of Christ. The idea is not just eyewitness, but a witness who proclaims the suffering of Christ. Peter actually has suffered a lot. He has been attacked, he has been put in prison, and actually he died as a martyr later on for Jesus Christ. That's he speaks with authority in that sense. I am also a fellow sufferer like you. Huh? You remember? This letter is written to whom? Suffering Christian. Huh? Can you imagine? You say, well, I can understand you are suffering because I've gone through that too myself, you know. I think that makes a lot of difference, isn't it? He's not sitting up there and saying, hey, poor guys, you know, you are going through a hard time. Huh? But Peter said, you know, I have gone through suffering myself. So we thank God for the Peter experience. He had undergone great suffering for the sake of Christ. Remember, the letter was written to elders who are suffering because of persecution. And Peter is saying here, I am familiar with your suffering. He also said that he would one day share and partake the glory in the glory of Christ's return. This is talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. So Jesus not only will come, he will come for all of us. We should look forward to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, I've been, as I said, pastors for a long time, 50 years now, full time, if including my training time. I've been in the pastors for 54 years, you know. Even as a training time, I was pastoring as a student pastor, leaving business, and I never look back. Huh? I think it's a wonderful thing to serve God, by the way. And I pray that some of you younger fellows here, I know God is speaking to many of our young people, but I pray that you will make a decision to obey God. It's not easy to give up what you are doing. In my case, I'm the eldest son. My father is way older than me. 50 years difference, you know. And he trained me actually to be a businessman. And he was a lay pastor, we call. He's just like Brian or some of you here, preachers and whatnot. And my father actually said, no, son, you can be like me, you know. You don't need to go to to be a full-time pastor, because I already have two cousins who are full-time pastor. And mind you, they are very poor, actually. And one pastor have to, the family stay with us for 3 years. We have a business, we have some places for them to stay. And the other pastor, my father reminded me during the wartime, you know, he only eat white rice and green papaya. You know? So can you take that type of life? My father was very frank with me. He said, you can actually be like me, you know. We business, we make money, we give to the Lord, and the Lord use whatever we have, you know. And he wanted me just to be like him, you know. But somehow I struggled for 3 years because God called me. Huh? And finally, I told him, you know, this is what God wants me to do. And my dad said, you know, Isaac actually is given to God. Huh? Follow him. Huh? Struggling for a while, huh? Yes, when God calls, most likely you will struggle. But I pray that you will obey God. I think that's the best thing in life, is to put Him first in your life. But God will never shortchange you. Huh? 50 years looking back, you know, 54 years looking back. Yes, there are a lot of challenges, a lot of hardship, but it makes me a better person. Refine me to be a servant for him. Yes, then Paul went on. Peter went on to talk about the responsibility or the work of the pastor, the responsibility of the elders, overseers, and shepherd, as I use the word pastor. So I exhort you, elders among you, shepherd the flock of God that is among you. Now, spiritual leaders are called shepherding. We're called shepherd, and our work is shepherding the flock. Now, what is shepherding? Let me go down on the... sheep actually get lost quite easily. Therefore, the shepherd need to look for them. In other words, a shepherd cannot just sit inside the church. We have to go every nook and corner to find lost sheep. We need to go out of the church to do that. Sheep are easily led astray by wrong teaching. They need a shepherd so that they are not deceived, to teach right doctrine. And we thank God we have a group of faithful teachers. And I hope classes will be smaller and more personal. God has raised up many of us who are able to do that. Sheep need good food and water. They need a shepherd to feed them continuously. Now look at our congregation. As I said, we have the oldest to the youngest. And each group of people have different diet, right? They eat different types of food. And I think we need to break the church up into tiny little sectors where we have so many able people to teach, gather around, and then we minister their needs more personally and more intimately. Sheep often get into fights too, you know. As a pastor, I actually have been a peacemaker in many occasions. Yes, church, they need a shepherd to be a peacemaker. Shepherds are defenseless. Sheep are defenseless. They need a shepherd for protection. That's why the psalmist says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I have everything that I need." That's what a good shepherd would offer. And Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd." The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. So the shepherd actually leads the flock sacrificially, not for himself, but he looks after the sheep of God carefully. So the shepherd of pastors, shepherding of the pastors is an extension of God's shepherding in their lives. In my own case is that, you know, he is my shepherd. I learn from him because he has looked after me. And I learn how to shepherd others in that sense. And thank God that Psalm 77 verse 20 say, "You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." God has led the people. And God has given us authority. The Great Commission, Jesus said, you know, we have authority to make disciples of all nations. And we also have authority teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. That's the leadership, great responsibility. And reaching out to the world is every Christian responsibility. Jesus' ultimate goal is to help all of us who believe, not only to be a disciple, but he wants us to be a disciple maker too. So a lot of times we think that, you know, sharing the gospel is just the pastors and the leaders. I think that's not true. This great commission is given to all of us believers. And Paul, in his own writing, talk about the work of the elders, overseer, and pastors is to equip the body of Christ and ready for every good work. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16 says, "Rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow that it builds up itself in love." Paul wrote to Timothy, he said, the man of God may be complete equipped for every good work. So the leadership of the church is to equip every saint, every believer, to be ready for whatever God assigns us to do. Yeah, the Old Testament, the Bible talks about Israel is the flock and God is the shepherd, and he also raised up under shepherd. But shepherd can also be irresponsible. And especially recorded in Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 4, 7, and 10, to 10, this is what the scriptures say. The weak you have not strengthened. They're talking about the irresponsible shepherds. The sick you have not healed. The injured you have not bound up. The stray you have not brought back. The lost you have not sought. And with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd. And they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered all over the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them. Verse 7. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the words of the Lord. As I live, declares the Lord God, surely because my sheep have become a prey and my sheep have become food for all the wild beasts, since there was no shepherd, and because my shepherds have not searched for my sheep, but the sheep have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep. The shepherds have fed themselves and have not fed my sheep. Therefore, you shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my sheep at their hand and put a stop to their feeding the sheep. No longer shall the shepherds feed themselves. I will rescue my sheep from the mouth, from their mouths, and they may not be food for them. Here talks about the irresponsible shepherds of Israel. And this is a good reminder for all of us as spiritual leaders of God's people. We don't take care of ourselves. Don't be butcher instead of being a pastor. A butcher kill the sheep and eat it, you know. But we are pastors. We grow the sheep. We help the sheep to be matured. What does God look for, actually, in a spiritual leader? God actually looks for people who are upright. He has integrity in his relationship and in how he treats others. He is truthful and fair, open and temperament. Pastors must be holy and devoted to God, and also love the people God has committed to us. But in this passage of Scripture, Peter also mentioned three negatives and three positives. You notice that. Okay. He said the three negative, he says, not the shepherds don't pastor under compulsion, not shameful gain, and not domineering. These are the negative aspect of it. Firstly, he said, you know, a pastor is not under compulsion to serve. And none of us leaders, nobody twists our arms to be an elder, to be a deacon, or to be a pastor. And then why we do it, you know? Because we felt called to do. We are led to do. We are gifted to do, you know. And the church affirms our calling. That's why we found ourselves serving God. And more so, you trust us and allow us to serve you in that sense. So we don't serve under compulsion, but willingly, here's it. Out of our eagerness, we willingly we want to serve God. Not that I need to serve God, but I love to serve God. I think you can see the difference. It's not the pay that we get, then we serve God, but because of our calling. And because God has called us and we obey Him. And we love him, and he wants us to love you. And we try to do that to the best of our ability. So I serve God because I love him. Huh? We serve to fulfill our responsibility willingly. Huh? And as an act of devotion and service rendered unto God. So serving you, actually, we are serving God. It doesn't matter your whatever background you are. In the eyes of God, every sheep is important. And that's where we learn to do. Now, it's true that here, so we serve not for shameful gain. Even then, pastors are paid, though they are not paid as much as others. But thank God that they have enough. But today, there are a lot of people who serve God for shameful gains. All you need is just go to your Google for the 10 richest pastors in the world. You'll find a lot of news about them. There's a group of people who preach the health, wealth, theology, or the prosperity gospel. You find that they use the church as a scheme, as a place where they do direct sales, they do business, and they make a lot of money. Well, this is not what the Church of God is all about. Yes, there's great temptation for pastors, because pastors have great needs, you know, financially, you see. But that's not how pastors learn to live. A pastor learn to live by trusting God. Allow me to go share with you pastors are, you know, pastors, poor church mouths. Have you heard that phrase? No money, huh? Yeah, I hope you know how to help pastors and their family, you know, by giving money, you know, by encouraging them. These few weeks, you know, my children are back. They shared with me some of the things when they were young, growing up in the church. It will shock you. I've never heard that before. They never complained to me, but I just discovered something, you know. And my daughter said, you know, when I was we are about to send her to Australia to study. You know, one church member said, you know, your dad has no money. You don't go to Australia. Just study here locally. It's good enough. And my older girl actually went to the States. And we are a very kind lady in the church and say, Pastor, all you need to do is just pass the head. You will have more than enough money. And I turned around and said, thank you for your kindness. If your daughter go overseas to study, can you do the same? He said, no, I cannot do that. You are a pastor. I said, pastor is my member of the church, right? I said, you cannot do it, I cannot do it. Yeah, pastors struggle with finances, but I've taught our children that, you know, the first one you need to go to ask is not the church, but ask God for all our supply. And God has been faithful all these years. Pastors also have another problem sometimes. I'm talking about paid pastor, full-time pastor. When we go and buy things, you know, saying, why muksiya kai pengdi ha? Have you heard people say that? Because I'm pastor, you know, sell to me cheaper. I think that's also a wrong way to talk. I'm sure you're aware of things like that. But I think we need to learn to trust God as pastor. Over 50 years, we have no sidelines, nothing. But we live very simple. And God's grace is more than sufficient. More than sufficient. For our children, for us, there's nothing lacking. So I encourage some of you who are considering ministry, be bold. You need to learn to trust God and trust Him alone. We don't serve for shameful gains. No need to think of ways to make money. No need to go around and begging for money, because our God is rich. If we can send ravens to feed the prophets, God have ways to send food to you. No need to worry about that. And the third thing is, the third negative thing is that we serve not by authority but by our example. Don't hit people on the head. Domineering, the word is, you see. We are very domineering. Yeah, there are pastors. You have abusive pastors, also abusive church too, though, you know. So some pastors are very abusive. They are the only right. I have the spiritual authority you don't have. Many years ago, I was in a big city up north in China. The place is Shenyang. And I worked there for the last 20 over years, different parts of China. And there was a big church leadership meeting among they call it a Si Tong Ha, one system of that group of people. And they were literally fighting with one another, you see, over. And the younger group of leaders are all well-educated. But the older people, the chief, so-called the chief elder, you see, and he's not so well-educated. The younger group, they really know the Bible, by the way. They know the Bible very well. But ding-dong for 2 hours, you know, I sat there as an invited guest to solve their problem. And actually, I didn't solve their problem. Finally, this elder, you know, senior elder stood up and said, you know, I have suffered for the Lord. I have been to prison. Have you done that before? So the authority actually is suffering, huh? Gone to prison. Huh? So therefore, they have the last say. Huh? But I think that's not right. The last say is the word of God. Huh? Not the pastor's authority, unless his authority directly from the word of God. So we don't lead with authority, but we lead by example. Someone used there are two types of leadership. They say demand leadership. You know, you listen to me. I'm the boss here, you say. Now that's not what church leadership is all about. But they say there's another leadership, is called command leadership. Our lives live in such a way, you see, that you willingly follow us because we follow the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ. And I hope that's how our church is being led and continue to be led. So I urge you to be imitators of Christ as we imitate him, you see. Lastly here, have the shepherd's promise in this passage of Scripture. And when the chief shepherd appears, you see, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. This word unfading comes from a type of flowers that they don't die. You know, you put just refresh it with water, it will come again. You know, the word come from that word, you see. So at the end of the day, you see, when Jesus returned, that they talk about in verse 1, I talk about the appearing of the Lord, the return of the Lord, the second coming of Jesus, you see. When he comes, you see, he will reward us. Faithful servants, come, you know, and join me. Huh? Yeah, Paul's writing, he said, all those who await his return, huh? If you have finished the race, you have fought the good fight, you have kept the faith, you see, a crown of righteousness is waiting for you. In other words, we will not look for judgment when Jesus returns, but we look for rewards. Huh? May we continue to be faithful in that sense. Huh? God is going to reward us. And what is the greatest joy of us who are serving, leading? Here it says, you know, our greatest joy is that the sheep will listen and obey. That's the only simple request. Not to force you to obey, but willingly to obey. And it says, likewise, you younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourself, all of you, with humility towards one another. For God opposes the proud and gives grace to the humble. So here, we ask that God would help us to learn to listen to the elders, to the pastors, obey them, work together with them. Let me close with two verses of Scripture. It says here, likewise, you who are young, I read that. Hebrews 13, verse 17. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy, not with groaning, for that would be of no advantage to you. What does it mean? You know, it just means listen to them, follow them, obey them, submit to them. And that takes humility. Our request for all of us, pray for your spiritual leaders. Pray for the pastors, the elders, the deaconesses, cell group leaders. We are all shepherds. Well, what do we pray? There are a few things I'd like you to pray. First of all, that God will fill us with the Spirit Holy Spirit, and be clearly, the fruit of the Spirit will be clearly seen and increasingly manifested in each of our lives. Secondly, pray that we will minister not in our own strength, but in the power of the Holy Spirit. Ask God to preserve us in our discouragement, that we will not quit. I'm sure you have heard members of the church, "I quit." Yes, it's very easy to give up in ministry because it's hard, I can promise you, but it's joyous. Pray that we will not quit. Pray that we will serve with joy and gladness in humility. Pray that we will lead by example and not by authority. And lastly, as a member of the church, let us affirm and support the needs of the pastoral team, that they will continue to be servants to serve all of us for the glory of God and for the edification of all of us. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that you will continue to use your holy word to minister to each of our hearts. Lord, we have failed in many ways, but yet, Lord, you are gracious to allow us to learn from our failures and not give up. And Lord, strengthen us, O Lord. I pray for all the elders, the deaconesses, the pastors, Lord, that we will continue to work as a team as your Holy Spirit lead and guide us. Bless the church, O Lord, and help us to glorify you as we serve you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.